MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, you'll know that one of South Africa's biggest fintech stories of the year, Optasia's blockbuster debut on the JSE, raising something in the region of 6.5 billion rand, but also sending a strong signal that local capital markets still have global pulling power. Among the early backers cashing in is LLH Capital, co-founded by broadcaster-turned-investor Romeo Khumalo. Now, the listing marks the largest fintech IPO in years and has revived confidence, I think, in the JSE's ability to attract high growth tech players. So what does this deal then tell us about South Africa's investment climate? And I wonder what Romeo Khumalo's next bet is. Well, Romeo, a very warm welcome to you. First of all, let's just talk about the success of the listing. What does it tell us, in your opinion, about the state and maybe even the future of South Africa's capital markets?
Well, I think there's confidence in South Africa's capital markets. Optasia was oversubscribed, and also just about South Africa's fintech market, and also the confidence that investors have on the fintech industry in South Africa and across the African continent.
Why do you think that confidence prevails right now? And there is concern that maybe that bubble is about to burst. Where's your head in that space?
Well, we don't think so, Jeremy. If you look at the African continent and if you look at the increase in smartphone penetration, if you look at what's happening with digitization and internet connectivity, we think there's huge opportunity for growth on the African continent. If you look at what AI, the opportunity that AI presents in terms of the different industries and services, we think that it's going to help many of the founder-led innovative businesses to leapfrog in many services. So we see that if you look at our model around the convergence of telecommunications and financial services, we think there's a lot of opportunities for growth, and that's why investors have just gone confidently into stocks like Optasia.
So how does the continent then capitalize on the appetite and the potential that you are outlining to me?
Well, you know, we are raising this big fund to back founder-led businesses. And we think that there are a lot of Optasias that are waiting to be discovered and scaled. Our model is to find AI digital-led businesses that are innovating. And there are a lot of young, not even young, there are a lot of businesses out there that need capital, that need operational expertise, that need strategic leadership, access to networks, access to capital. And we are there to find those businesses and help them to scale.
So what kind of criteria would you then apply to your model going forward, given that it is risky, and there is also, a lot of chaff in amongst the wheat?
Well, we generally look for businesses that are solving real problems. You know, many of these businesses, founder-led businesses, have got founders that are solving real problems, tech that is solving real problems in the market. And so there's many businesses that we've invested in, businesses like Ozo, businesses like Sandmark, Flow Living, and Bottles. And we've seen the model that's worked in Optasia. And so those are the kind of business that we are looking for.
How do you assess risk, though, when investing in founder-led businesses such as the ones that you're chasing versus those maybe with a little bit more weight with institutional governance structures?
Look, it takes a long time to invest, and we have a risk model that we use to ensure that these businesses can sustain funding and make sure that we can get the kind of risk adjustment return on investment on our capital. So there's a long way to ensure that we can work with these founder-led businesses. And it takes a while. You need to make sure that you're working with businesses that have tech that is investable and people have done it before. So, yeah, it's not easy. We've done it before, and we need to make sure that these businesses can sustain, that tech is sustainable.
As far as Optasia is concerned, why was now the right moment for LLH to realize part of its stake? Was it about timing, market conditions, or is it simply a strategic rotation play?
Very strategic for us. We had been with Optasia for almost 10 years now. We've sold down a significant portion of our investment. We've kept a bit of equity, but we think there's other opportunities in the market to look at. And so it was a strategic alignment for our portfolio, and we think there's other AI-driven ventures that we can look at this point in time.
Take me back to the beginning, Romeo. What was the original investment thesis behind backing Optasia?
You know, we met the founder in close to about 2016. I remember 16th of August 2016. At the time, I mean, I was looking now, Jeremy, at the investment thesis that we had at the time of the convergence of telecoms and financial services. And I remember chatting to Basim, the founder, around his tech of solving real problems and around financial inclusivity. And we flew to London and flew to Athens, met the team, looked at the tech, and we thought there's something here special around making sure that we can include a lot of Africans around financial services and inclusivity. And the tech was robust. And we thought there was something really special around here in terms of introducing this amazing tech to the likes of Vodacom and others, but also just amazingly, the way he had assembled an amazing team around him.
Are there key lessons from the Optasia journey then, Romeo, whether it be in growth, whether it be in governance or timing even, that's going to inform your next deal then?
Oh, yes. If you look at the journey around operational expertise, if you look at the journey around the tech, if you look at the journey around governance, if you look at the journey around the collaborative investors that we brought on board, there are many, many lessons that that we can take from this amazing investment on Optasia to take on to the rest of the other ventures that we're looking at. It's been an amazing journey with this team, and we will continue to work with the Optasia team as well to take some of the insights and the learnings to the next ones.
Other ventures that you're looking at. So where do you see the next strategic opening for African capital in the next cycle?
Many others in the in financial services and telecoms, we really think that this space of growth around African digitization, and we think that the increase in smartphone penetration and AI is what's going to drive growth in Africa. And so a lot of the ventures that we're looking to back are businesses that are changing people's lives, but that are also innovating around digitization and around financial inclusivity.
How do you tell African naysayers, though, that there is opportunity on the continent? Is that a difficult discussion to have?
You know, we engage with investors in the U.S. and in recent times I was in Silicon Valley talking to investors around AI. I spent a week there meeting different entrepreneurs and investors. And of course, they have a different view around the continent. In fact, they know nothing about what's happening on the African continent. And so when you start talking to them about the digital dividend and the opportunities that Africa presents, you know, they start looking at it, you know, from a different perspective. So yeah, it is very, very hard, particularly when you talk about risk on the African continent. What they see and what they read about Africa is just risk and wars. And so it is hard when you start talking to investors about the opportunities in Africa. But we believe on the continent, and we believe that this continent has many, many opportunities, particularly around financial services and telecoms. And what AI presents now is an opportunity to leapfrog in many of these sectors.
Romeo Kamalo, thank you very much indeed.